Welcome to Downtown Sasquatches.
An exploration into all things Degrassi. I'm Tori Conley.
And I'm Luke Fagenbush. Did you not like how I said that?
It was just very long. I didn't know when I should come in.
I wanted to do the monster truck thing, kind of. Oh. Just really get them riled up.
Release on Monday.
That's right. I didn't even think about that. Monster truck energy is perfect. Isn't there a Sasquatch monster truck?
Probably. I don't.
That sounds
why would
like
I know
some
more
truck
about
shit.
Monster trucks than you do.
Okay. Well, we'll get moving. Wait, what did we watch last week?
We watched episodes 7 and 8, which I don't remember. I've said this before. When we talk about it on the podcast, it leaves my brain.
Oh, it was Basketball Diaries.
Oh yes,
with hyped up Jimmy breaking ankles, not giving a shoot.
And Ashley's dad is gay.
Very important to remember. We'll get the soundbite loaded up for next episode.
Yeah, we'll have that on hand. This week we're covering the 9th episode and the 10th episode of season 1 called Coming of Age. And I think the second one's Rumors and Lies. It's in my notes when we get to it. So
I just want to say we cover some material that I'm covering the first episode, and I can't thank you enough because it's just some of my favorite stuff to really just get into.
Relatable for you.
Yeah, yeah. And plus an Ashley and Jimmy plot line, which is moi, chef kiss. I fucking hate Ashley and Jimmy. It's so boring.
I do too. And they have no chemistry.
No.
It's just like they're supposed to be together, so they say they're happy because they're actors and it's in the script, but I don't buy it.
Unless the chemistry is like, you're the same amount of boring as me. Maybe we do belong together. We're not boring the shit out of anyone else.
Well, anyway, the 9th episode of season 1 is called Coming of Age, and it's named after a song by Jay-Z and Damn Yankees. And it aired in Canada December 16th, 2001, U.S. air date May 13th, 2002, written by Linda Shuler and Jan Moore, story by Susan Nielsen, teleplay again by Tassie Cameron, story editor Aaron Martin, and directed by Bruce McDonald. And this is our last Bruce McDonald episode before the finale, which is, it's a good one. I'm excited for that episode.
Stay tuned for that. So did you have more facts?
Just a couple.
Oh, shoot them off.
This episode, Emma, Manny, and Toby, and JT are the only four characters to appear in every episode. And Manny reveals, I don't know if you had this in your notes, but we get some background on Manny. She was born in the Philippines.
That was interesting. Was it Manila?
Yes. And yes. Jimmy turns 14.
Yeah, fun. He looks 14.
He does. Yeah.
Sarcasm. I have another Luke's IMDb corner.
I can't nail down a sound effect.
I like that one. Okay. This one is not about September 2001, even though I think this episode does take place in that month. But this is a crazy credits fact. And I'm just going to read it verbatim off the IMDb. The AAC Kids logo after the end credits is formed into a rocket on a space computer software screen with kids heard laughing much to the fun.
Thank you for that.
Thanks, IMDb.
Valuable information.
Do you want me to read it again? Because it doesn't make any more sense.
No.
Much to the fun. Which the name of the episode could really be called Much to the Fun.
There's always much to the fun with Degrassi.
Okay, so we're opening up in a computer lab.
Media immersion class.
And it's not, that's not a Snake's classroom, is it? Is it a different classroom?
Oh, it might because be a different computer
lab.
Yeah,
there are windows.
I just call it media immersion every time they're in a computer lab just because they say it so much.
They
program me.
30 computers from a right-wing hate group.
It's soft hate.
Yeah. So we've got Emma, we got some Manny, and we got Sean, and Sean found the coolest site yesterday.
So he was excited about something. He was like, yo,
finally
check this shit out. It's cool. I just learned about it. And Manny is interested, and she's like, oh, I'm a Leo. What does it say about me? And Well, first,
she is a Leo.
First, Sean is just vaguely describing astrology because he had just discovered it. He's like, oh, it's like what you're about by the stars. And Emma's like, it's called astrology, you buffoon. Like,
yeah, she comes in so hot. I mean, usually Emma isn't a good person or kind or polite, but she's really shutting down astrology. And I think it's more than her having 10 minutes to study for an astronomy test coming up, but she's raining on their parade.
I think it's just her as a core person.
Just the evil that's locked inside her. And then she storms off about the astronomy test, and Manny makes the crazy sign with her hands, and then Emma pops back on screen, and she's like, I saw that!
She says, are you coming? So, this was crazy to me, another Emma being terrible, because they were sitting over there talking to astrology about each other, or talking to each other about astrology.
Yeah.
And not involving her because she wasn't interested, and she was studying, and
she
it
made
wasn't
that very clear.
Yeah, and it wasn't that loud, so she started loudly quizzing Manny because I guess Manny had been supposed to be studying next to her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got mad when Manny wasn't answering her questions because she was in a prior conversation Emma knew about. She yelled at them, stormed out, and then said, hey, my best friend, who I just yelled at in front of everybody, are you coming?
No, actually, I don't want to be around you.
I have to make sure we establish just how shitty all the things Emma does.
That's
all
that's
the
kind
time.
Of going to be your job for these two episodes, because she shines bright.
Yeah.
But there's kind of two possibilities for her acting the way she is. And I don't know. The first one's pretty well established. We'll talk about it later. But the second one, do you think it has anything to do with like Manny cozying up to Sean? Because Sean is Emma's beau.
I also had some suspicions about that. Because he's her like headcanon beau at this point.
Mm-hmm.
She's just like, oh, I like this guy. And I don't know if I've seen her express that to Manny. I just kind of don't care about her conversations with Manny right now because they're never about Manny.
I'm ready
like, I love
to...
Manny, and we need more Manny.
We have some good Manny moments, but Manny has not arrived yet.
She hasn't solidified as a character.
Mm-hmm. So they're in the class, test is done, and Emma is like, I failed. I totally failed. She's being just a negative Nancy right here. And
she says, I want a career in something other than horoscopes, Manny, when Manny suggests that she probably did fine.
Yeah, she's being such a Scorpio.
And then the next scene we get.
Yes.
We get a shot of a soap opera, and it turns out it's Emma watching it, and she's eating Ruffles, a Ruffles product placement. This is product placement.
Confirmed.
You will have no doubts in a few episodes, and that's all I'm going
to
say.
And I think she's supposed to be crying, but her face is doing a weird thing that looks like human emotion. She doesn't quite have it down yet.
Yeah, and I just don't think... See, this scene was very funny to me because it was like the writers were making meta commentary on Degrassi, but also Emma was not the target audience for that show if it really upset her that much.
Some of the dialogue was, Diane, we're born alone, we die alone. Jack, our love can't save us now. It's too late. And Emma's just kind of sobbing. And then Spike walks in and asks Emma to take out the garbage and notices she's having some kind of human emotion, so she obviously asks what's wrong.
Yeah, and the bag of Ruffles she's holding is like bigger than Miriam McDonald's. It's so large.
She could wear that bag.
And she's like getting existential about a soap opera because they're covering an astronomy unit in science class.
I didn't think about that.
In space, and because she was quizzing Manny on Jupiter.
We're so small, and the universe is so massive.
Also,
we're all just floating alone.
Spike looks gorgeous in this scene.
Yeah.
She looks amazing. Oh, and so, yeah, she's like, will you take out the trash? Emma's too upset. So Spike decides to take out the trash, and they go shopping.
Yeah, she teaches Emma a completely healthy coping mechanism that she does when she gets quote-unquote space anxiety, which is to spend money.
Yeah.
So she's relating, they're at the mall, Emma's just going on and on about a skirt and did you want to have any clothes things?
So I was very confused by this storyline.
Okay.
Did she say skirt in the dialogue at the mall?
I thought she said skirt.
Do you think that because of what they said the rest of the episode? Because it was very confusing and I kept track of it.
Well, that is something I would not remember.
See, so I just recalled her saying, I love this sweater. It'll go with anything. Next day at school, specifically talking about outfit, not jumping ahead plot-wise, yeah. She is wearing a sweater and a skirt. But then she's showing off the skirt to Manny, and I don't remember her saying skirt at all in the dialogue. And then they keep saying skirt and that it's new, but she said sweater? Did she buy the whole outfit?
I think so. And she was more excited about the sweater. Then she put it on, and then she's like, this skirt is kind of the dark horse of that shopping journey.
Oh, okay.
Maybe this skirt is what I didn't expect until I saw how good it looked.
Actually would wear that outfit. I really like that outfit.
Yeah, decent.
Yeah. Well, I would wear a different version of it, but I like the bones of it.
And Spike is looking pretty good.
Apparently.
Because a guy is... They're in the mall, and he's literally behind some indoor bushes. He's like a bald dude, so I thought it was Snake at first, which really creeped me out, because what he says is...
It wasn't Archie.
I'd like a lick of your cone.
He says, I'd like a lick of that.
Excuse me? I'd like a lick of your cone. Sue me. I like that he clarifies after saying the creepiest thing possible.
Sue me.
And Spike goes off. She, girl boss, gaslight, gatekeep. Go for it, Spike.
Girl boss, gaslight, gatekeep. I had a note here. I was like, does Emma spray predator pheromones on her or what? Like, how does she attract so many? And yeah, Spike goes off on the man, and Emma says a very what adults think teenagers would have said in 2001 thing. She says, Mom, can we go? I am mildly dying.
No, it's not like adults in 2001. That's like you this year. Like,
see, that sounds like something I would say. Yeah. But hell, maybe I just consume too much 2000s media and that's just how I speak.
There is a lot of it.
Oh no. And Spike teaches her daughter a very good lesson. She says, this is better than the shopping thing. Yeah, she says, don't ever let a guy make you feel bad just for being female. And she makes her promise.
And this is a weird parallel, because the next scene we see with them is they're in high school. She's showing off the new skirt, which we went over that.
Yeah, this scene was so weird.
And then JT calls her clothes sexy.
He says... See, I thought the subtitle said sexy shirt, and then he stared at her skirt, and she said sweater at the mall. That's why I was so confused.
There's so many clothes, and JT thinks one of them sexy. And
he was staring at her ass pointedly, her prepubescent body.
Well, he's a teenage boy.
But like, it was like he was leaning in the hall, and it was like, gross, JT, I thought better for you.
And especially when it's like, right after the scene of the Uber creep, it's like, are we calling my JT that?
Yeah.
Because that hurt.
He has a lot less way to go than some characters, though.
Yeah. He gets called out, and they say, don't get mad. It's not like JT is Mr. Fashion Forward, as if that was the problem.
Yeah, I don't think that was her issue with his comment.
Okay.
Now, so, grade eights.
Yep, we're going back, and we sandwiched this Ashley-Jimmy storyline in
between. He's a man now.
Yeah, at the ripe age. He's a man if you're in the 1800s. He's 14 years old. So Ashley, Jimmy, and Terry are walking to school. It's his birthday, making him, as he says, the man.
Yeah, and... Terry starts acting like a little bitch about lobsters dying.
Yeah, that was kind of a weird beat for her, because he's like, yeah, we might be having lobster. And she's like, oh, you mean they like fry in a pot?
So you're going to have animals screaming and dying in your kitchen?
Which usually I'm team Terry, but like, if you're eating an animal, like...
Like, I've seen Terry eat meat. She's not a vegetarian as far as I know. So calm down.
As long as they're like euthanized in a gas chamber.
Yeah, Wait, why would it go there?
I would like to think that's the most like peaceful death that's an animal could have.
That doesn't make for good meat if you poison the animal that you're going to eat.
But then they would fall asleep instead of boiling alive or having one of those like cattle pen things that they have in No Country for Old Men.
Oh, I just wanted to mention that Ashley and Terry are wearing the ugliest necklaces during this conversation. And
I didn't notice that.
Ashley comes in really hot when Jimmy walks away. And
she is teed off.
Yeah. Terry's like, what is the problem? Jimmy is like the coolest guy in school. He plays basketball. He loves you.
You hate Lobster? You hate his parents? What's going on?
Yeah, she says that. And she says, I'm smothered. He's at my house all the time.
I feel you, girl. Ashley, for probably the first and last time in the episode, I will say, if he's spending 8 days a week at her house and...
Yeah, he had dinner with them 8 days in a row.
Yeah. That's a bit much. But she doesn't deal with it the best.
Well, and she also says something weird. She says, I've already got a stepbrother. I don't need another one. And it's like, that's not what a boyfriend that might live with you is, Ashley. I don't think you understand how that works.
Yeah. So in the next scene, Terry and Ashley are taking a love quiz because I guess Terry was like, oh, you're having thoughts about your boyfriend? Let's win you back with a Cosmo magazine or something. And I wrote down the options because it's kind of funny.
Oh, but can we talk about the gross joke they made?
Oh,
about,
what was it?
So one of the options was like,
when you see your man, do you feel A, indifferent, B, nauseous, C, relieved, D, the earth moved.
Yeah, and Ashley says, he's a guy, not an earthquake. And Paige says, what? He doesn't vibrate on your Richter scale? And Terry says, gross.
Paige is so weird. She spends 99% of her time in the bathroom and just gives weird sexual advice.
Paige has serious plot and character in some episodes. And then the episodes that are not centered around her, she's just kind of there to like make a shitty comment here and there, or like instigate a little bit, or say something self-centered and walk off.
Yeah, insert Paige for drama. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I love it. And Jimmy walks up.
And he's all holding a basketball like he always does, even though kids steal it from him, apparently.
Yeah, I guess he just always gets a new one. And Ashley's like, Jimmy, we were in the middle of something.
And she's like, don't you want to go play football? You don't want any part of this quiz. And she says,
it's stupid. And she's feeding into the narrative that society maintains that things that teen girls like by nature are stupid and bad.
Yeah,
and it's
Jimmy
really
can
misogynist.
Like quizzes, but she's also just using it as a chance to ditch Jimmy.
Well, it doesn't help the other women.
And then his boys, who are just standing in the background like hench people, and I don't think we know any of them. They're just randos.
And two and three.
They're like, hey, come on. And he sits down and he's like, what? And miss a chance to hear my girl's inner thoughts? Are you kidding me?
I love some things Jimmy says, but his actions I just can't support all the
time. There's a really good Paige moment where she doesn't say anything, but she just... she just notices the tension there and she smiles evilly.
I love it. And Jim asks if Ashley, Jimmy asks if Ashley wants, that's how I write it in my notes.
We're casual
for,
with
for time.
The J-man.
Yeah, we know him personally. Jimmy asks her if she wants to hang out that night, and Ashley just lies to him and is like, oh, me and Terry, we got a girls' night we've been planning forever.
Right, Terry?
And Terry's like, I guess.
Right?
Like, and he like sadly passes the basketball he walked up with to her and walks away. And he doesn't get it back.
He's just giving away. He's got to have like 40 basketballs in his dumb robot house.
No wonder he didn't care when that guy stole his basketball. He just gives them away and loses them all the time.
Honestly, is that kind of his parents are sort of rich thing?
It seems like they have powerful jobs. Yeah. Because we'll get to that this episode. But they seem to work late a lot.
Yeah. So the Tara, Terry and Ashley are walking home, and Terry's behind in Miss Kwan's class, which
everyone's behind in Miss Kwan's class or something.
Miss Kwan's standards are
very
high.
She runs a tight ship.
Yeah, and I don't agree with it, but it's not about Miss Kwan this episode. And
next episode,
Ashley's like, tonight's all about having, and then Jimmy is there coaching Toby in some basketball, and he just turns around and is like, pretend I'm not even here. So he's great at signals.
And Ashley does. She proceeds to do so and ignore her boyfriend, doesn't even say hello or, yeah, we're going inside. Like, she doesn't acknowledge him. She just walks in.
Yeah, she took that pretty literally.
I wrote in my notes, what a wretched young woman. Because, like, how is that a way to treat your boyfriend? Yeah. And also Pringles product placement very heavily in this scene.
They love the potato chips up there.
They really do. That must be a Canada thing.
Oh, what is that potato chip flavor they have? I know they like ketchup, and then there's like, it's not all spice, but there's a really good one.
Anyway, Kate, Ashley's mom, is pretty cool with Jimmy staying for dinner because she knows his parents aren't around all the time at night because they work. Mm-hmm. And Ashley straight up yells at her mom in response to this because she's sick of Jimmy being around and she needs some space. But she doesn't communicate that clearly. She just says some teenagery things.
She's really hoping there's not enough food to feed him, which is weird. And then
really passive aggressive.
Yeah. And her mom's like, it's okay, you don't have to have him over. Take a chill pill. And then Toby walks in right at that moment and is like, can Jimmy stay for dinner? He's my new best friend.
Yeah. And Kate doesn't really know how to respond. She kind of pauses and starts to respond. And Ashley says, it's fine, and storms out of the room.
Even though it's not fine.
You know, when people ask how you are and you have to say it's fine, but it's not really fine, and I'm sorry.
Just being an adult. So they're in school. Ashley hugs Jimmy goodbye, and she looks exhausted. And then she goes off on her brother for inviting Jimmy for dinner every night. And I'm sure in true Degrassi style, Jimmy's like 5 feet off camera down the hallway.
Well, this was after Jimmy left. He left at the beginning of that scene.
Oh, okay,
like,
yeah.
Left and went
oh,
home.
So this was still at their house.
Yeah, it was directly after Jimmy went home.
Okay.
And Ashley says she wants to break up with Jimmy.
Toby is not about it. He immediately drops a bowl and looks horrified.
Because his new best bud.
Yeah, and
and he's like the okay, so think about it from Toby's perspective. Jimmy is like one of the coolest kids in grade 8.
And Toby
apparently
is not.
And Toby's not even cool for grade 7 standards, mm-hmm. based on the way the extras treat him and like everybody.
No.
So like, and Jimmy seems like he genuinely likes spending time with Toby and has a good time. And that probably makes him feel great.
Worried with how your Jimmy hate runs so deep that you would just be like, oh, he's manipulating Toby because.
No, I don't. It's not like that. Maybe with like Ashley or Emma. But it's not like that with Jimmy. It's just like,
yeah,
as we go
like
through
he's
the first several seasons, his actions speak louder than his words. His dialogue and what he says to the other characters that he cares says one thing, but then it's like he just forgets that sometimes. That's how I feel about Jimmy.
But it seems like he's sincerely taking an interest, actually teaching him basketball. It's pretty cool. It's like a big brother, little brother program. It warms my heart.
I did that in high school.
Did you?
Yeah, I had a little sister. She was cool.
Oh, yeah. Did you ruin her life?
No.
That's good.
No, she was fine. She was a cool little girl.
Huh.
I don't remember a lot about it.
I just had stupid actual siblings. And
I did, too. But they weren't good enough.
Oh, yeah. I should have ordered out as well. So
the next day at school, Toby sees on Jimmy's locker it's decorated because it's his birthday.
He's getting a lot of birthday attention from some ladies. He's getting silly string. They're shouting at him, and I don't know why he's parked at the Ashley pad, because he's got options.
I would say it's accurate to have his locker decorated, because he is a popular athlete, and the cheerleaders would do that at my high school. I mean, they're in middle school right now, but that happened in my school experience.
Yeah. And Toby sidles on up to him and he's like, hey, you know, you were talking about when you're trying to master a move, which I think is basketball accurate, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I think he's like, how do I tell an athlete something?
Let me put it in terms that even Jimmy would understand.
And he immediately picks up every bit of subtext, like, so obviously Toby could have just talked to him.
You give it a rest and don't suffocate it, which was just...
He's like, oh, so Ashley's feeling suffocated. Like, he's not stupid, Toby.
He's not stupid.
I bet he can spell.
I don't know. We decided he's a slow reader because it took him all night to read.
Yeah, but it's not canon that he can't spell like Toby.
Okay. Oh, yeah, Toby can't spell.
No, I won't let anyone forget that.
He didn't react the best to that news.
And he sits on the floor, which is gross, after he's told that Ashley wants to dump him.
Yeah. So now our plot lines cross paths a little bit. So this is a kind of a weird start to the scene because Toby, JT, Emma, and Manny are all on the bench sunbathing.
They're like, sunbathing like our dog does on the porch.
Just eyes closed, all leaning back, and I don't think I ever did that in middle school.
Yeah, I never thought, man, this life is hectic as a 12-year-old. I'm going to sit outside and just take it in.
They're like absorbing sun energy like Superman, only they all suck instead of being Superman.
Photosynthesis.
And they're discussing whether or not Toby should have told Jimmy. And of course, Emma's on Ashley's side. It's like, maybe she was just having a bad day. And then Toby says, more like a bad decade. Up top, Toby.
Which, like, got him. But yeah. Also, you've known her less than a year. How can you say decade, Toby? You just met her.
I'm going to extrapolate. I think she's had a bad decade.
She seems like she was pretty popular until this year when I guess she just started not caring how her actions affected people. And Sean walks up and Toby and JT are like, let's get out of here. Because I guess Toby's still salty about that one time that Emma ditched them and the nature documentary to hang out with Sean.
That would make sense. I thought they were like intimidated by him kind of being a grade eight, even though he got like held back, right?
Yeah. Yes. He missed time because of moving from Wasega.
Because of Wasega.
Yeah. And and
Sean apologizes for the horoscope thing, and I don't know what he was apologizing for.
He did nothing wrong in that scenario. He was just existing, like, every time he has to apologize to Emma so far.
Sorry I existed around you when you were in a bad mood, Emma. Sorry about that.
And he's like, or Emma offers to go look at horoscope stuff on the computer lab.
She's over her space anxiety. She drops some money, so she's good now. And she's like, yeah, I was interested in that man. See ya, Manny. I'll leave you alone on this bench. But she stands up, and Manny immediately pulls her back down. And she's like, did you sit in something? Which... Ba, 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 ba. Emma got her period.
Yes, she did.
This is what I was talking about when you asked to do the second episode, and then I read it, and I'm like, oh, of course it was the one where Emma gets her period.
That wasn't intentional. I just really wanted to cover the second episode.
You're just being a real Ashley, just not thinking about how your actions affect anyone else.
Well, why do you think I hate her so much?
Okay, guys. Well, since it's my full responsibility, let's talk about the human body.
Okay, let's not, because this podcast isn't for children.
So,
and she dismisses Sean after Manny says...
But there's the period theme is this weird jungle beat. It's like there are drums and stuff. And it's like, doo, 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 doo. I'm a woman now.
Amazing.
It's like salsa-ish.
And Emma dismisses Sean like he's like one of her subjects.
Leave.
You should go to class now.
And the walk away, the way he shakes his head, he's like really cool, but he's also like, man, girls are crazy, huh?
Yeah, girls be crazy, huh? And then Manny, once he walks away and they get up, she's like, okay, don't panic. Don't panic. Like, you're panicking, yeah, Manny. And it's not even happening to you.
It hasn't happened to her. They have no idea what to do. So their solution is for Manny to hold a notebook against Emma's butt to hide this stain. And then for Emma to have the most... I guess she's trying to act human again because she's walking like a robot down the hallway and just moving her arms stiffly in front of her.
She's walking like this stick bug from A Bug's Life. It looks crazy. And then they get to the bathroom and Manny's not panicking anymore. And she's like, so are you excited? You can get pregnant now. And Emma's like, what are you talking about?
She says they should celebrate. And Emma's like, celebrate what?
And then she says, yesterday I thought you were a workaholic, but now I know it was just PMS. And it's like, no, Manny, that's just your friend. Your friend is just a mean person.
Okay, well, we'll get back to that. We have to go to the less fun plot line now. Ashley's also outside as Sean passes her. It was actually props on that transition, guys, because we see Sean walk away, and then it goes right to Ashley and saying, I can't break up with Jimmy tonight. And Terry's like, why not? And he's like, it's his birthday.
Did I skip this scene?
It was pretty quick. And then,
okay,
in true Degrassi fashion, Jimmy was right there and walks up from 4 feet away. And he's just like, I don't know if he actually doesn't hear tonight or doesn't hear them talking about it or if it's just coming off Toby of Toby's thing. Yeah, because he's like, you don't have to come tonight. It's all
right. Oh, right.
And she's like, but it's your birthday. I'll be there. So cue the jungle salsa music, man. And that's when the bathroom scene is. And Manny just pieces. She's like, I'm going to go solve it. And she runs out of the bathroom. And Emma's like, I guess I'm trapped here. And I wanted to ask, because we finally see the stain, was that like realistic? Is that a heavy flow? Because that was,
what do you mean? Well, if she was like sitting in a classroom for an hour and then maybe Manny didn't walk behind her to the next class and she like sat for another hour, I don't know, because it just depends.
Don't get into details, but that was,
well, there is no necessary normal. Is all I'm saying. So I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
This is why this is my episode, because I have the hard-hitting questions.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So Ashley asks Toby to remind her mom she's at Jimmy's tomorrow night. And he's like, where are you going if you're just going to dump him anyway? And then Ashley accuses Toby of listening in on her private conversations. And
he says, God, you were bless 3 his feet heart away. Because they were.
I love Toby in this episode. It's like, you were literally in the kitchen. You could have been talking to me. Yeah.
He had just walked away and hadn't left the room.
And then Toby's like, you're being just like our parents. One hint of trouble and they walk away. And Ashley goes, Toby, my dad's gay. It's not exactly one hint of trouble.
Yeah, I think that is something you can't just get over in a straight relationship.
Just one hint of trouble and you walk away from your gay dad.
Which I have to say, Toby as a character, even when the focus is not on him, they're still keeping it up in the writing that he is still processing this divorce thing, which I appreciate.
Yeah, and also he... In
this
a
divorce
lot of ways.
His parents' divorce. I should just say that.
In a lot of ways, he's more emotionally mature than most of the characters.
Ashley really seems to have like dealt with the dad situation. She seems to have reckoned with it, at least.
That was a lot for her. But he also says, you don't bring people into your life just to throw them away.
Remember that, Ashley. She should remember that.
And then he drops the mic and walks away.
He does.
Yeah. Just smoking gun, dump that on the floor, Toby out.
In Ashley's defense, though, which I won't be saying often, in Ashley's defense, I wouldn't say a middle school relationship where you date a guy for 9 months is bringing, and you break up, is bringing someone into your life and throwing them away.
That is interesting that it kind of feels to him like his parents breaking up again. Like,
Well, he's had a lot of flux in his life recently, and Jimmy had become a stable thing. Finally, finally, he has some stability, and she's changing that too.
And Ashley's like, my boyfriend pays too much attention to me.
He likes me and my family too much, and they get along. Ooh.
Well, she'll
get rid of all that, I'm sure.
Yeah, if she I'm sure she'll make some life decisions to alienate people and get exactly what she needs.
I have faith in her to do that, at the very least.
Emma is in the bathroom alone because she's been abandoned by Manny. And guess who pops into her natural habitat?
Paige Michaelchuk.
The person you most want to guide you through your first period.
And she says, Little Miss Save the World skipping class. You're not protesting something, are you?
And then she notices and is like, oh, did your friend visit? And at this point, she's still being fierce, Paige. And even I'm like, even if it's Emma and I'm a fan of Paige being kind of a bitch, I'm like, I don't know, maybe cool it.
Yeah, she was like, you know you're not supposed to wear light clothes. And Emma's like, it was my first time, okay? And then she goes into a stall. And does she flip the skirt? Because when she goes into the stall, we see the back of her skirt and it's white. There's nothing on it.
I guess she did. I guess we should assume that she did.
Okay.
Oh, also in this scene, there's an I Heart JT bathroom graffiti thing.
Amazing.
Yeah, and I think it's pretty safe to assume it was Liberty who did that. That's my canon.
Probably. She probably did that during the one episode last week.
And Paige is like sitting in the stall next to her. She's like, trust me, I've been here. I've been here a lot. Hey, you'll get boobs now. They're actually really great. And then Emma's like, so I'm not going to turn into, and Paige is like, me? Honey, you wish.
It's hun. I don't think I've ever heard Paige say hun.
I made a note of this. In this one, she gave Emma the full honey.
Oh,
I
man.
I believe. And I think that says something about Paige recognizing Emma a little
bit. As an inferior being.
She's like, welcome to womanhood, honey.
Ew, I don't like that. Support other women, but Emma is no woman.
She's not a real human being. So
cryptid at best.
After Paige gives Emma a pad and there's some sisterhood and some bonding, she exits the bathroom stall and runs right into Manny, who just brought everything into the bathroom. She's panicking and her arms are full of like paper towels and wet wipes and the biggest gym shorts ever. I don't know who those belong to.
Don't gym shorts have strings usually?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just going to establish that.
And Paige is like, what? It's the washroom. Sue me.
Everybody's telling people to sue them this episode.
Yeah,
I guess
a real litigious episode.
I don't really want to group Paige with that man at the mall, though.
But if anybody could be sued for being in the bathroom, it would be Paige.
Yeah, she would be up to something malicious. So we're in Miss Kwan's class.
Yes, and JT and Toby are giving their book report on Pontypool Changes Everything, and the director, our boy, Bruce McDonald, he directed the movie based on Pontypool Changes
Everything. I wonder if that was inserted.
Called Pontypool, yes, and it is the zombie movie. So I think that's 100% on purpose.
No way. We have talked about that. Okay. Yeah. Dots are connecting for me right now.
Yeah, it's by Tony Burgess, which is not Anthony Burgess, who made A Clockwork Orange.
Toby and JT's summary was everyone died and everyone was really sad. Really, really sad.
And Ms. Kwan isn't digging it. It's like, it'd be nice if it weren't a synopsis and more analytical and...
The actual assignment.
Well, as someone who's making a recap podcast, cool it, Miss Kwan.
I mean, did they even read the rubric, though?
I don't know.
So Emma and Manny
Toby
go
was
up.
Involved. He can't spell, so we don't know what happened.
Emma and Manny crash into the classroom and go to give their book report.
And Miss Kwan is asking uncomfortable questions after they say it's an emergency. And is like, you can fill me in after.
Yeah, well, I like Miss Kwan, and you can be nicer to her from now on. Manny has, like, probably has little ponytails. I didn't take note of it, but they wear like the little 90s ponytails a lot in this season. Why didn't they just take one of those little ponytails out and use a hair tie to make her pants there stay up instead of Manny holding her pants up while they gave the book report?
Was she holding them up for
her? Yeah, she was physically holding Emma's pants up at one point.
They're sliding all over the place, and JT is not being considerate. And just from the back of the room, he's like, yo, yo, Puff Emma's in the house.
Yeah, he starts roasting her openly in the middle of English class.
So he does that like five times. Every single one is
hilarious. Because they don't want to pay any of the extras to talk.
Yep, JT's a golden god.
Yeah.
And then Emma steps up for herself. And for a while, she is speaking truth to power. She's like, no, I just got my period for the first time. Menstruation? Oh, happens to, 50% of the population. And the camera goes to Sean,
and like he looks
it's the shocked. Like it's the first time he heard that fact. He's like, menstruation? What? And she goes, it's perfectly natural, nothing to be ashamed of. She's good up to that point, and then she pulls a real Emma, and then she goes, right, Miss Kwan?
Yeah, she didn't have to. She could have just said, anyway, my book report, but she had to do that.
And they're doing a book report on I Heard the Owl Call My Name by Margaret Craven, which is about a guy doing missionary stuff. For
it's a bit metaphorical. They said it's about a priest who hates owls.
Yeah, and you can see how Emma could like the book because it's about a native population and learning things and not as interesting as the zombie book that JT picked.
And the last shot we get in this scene, I think, is Sean being very impressed by the size of Emma's ovaries standing up to JT like that. She doesn't have balls.
Okay, okay.
We know she doesn't have balls.
It was more like period stuff. It's like, can't see like the stain.
Oh, when I was writing notes, I was literally going to write the size of Emma's balls. But then I was like, that's really inappropriate for this storyline because we know she doesn't have balls.
I knew this would happen. I knew when I got a period episode just how little I know about periods was going to show up, and I'm like, is the size of ovaries related to flow? Is that
well, given that it's not your industry at all and what you do as a job, or like, I would be concerned if you had like a clinical knowledge of that.
I'm just correcting you.
Yeah, I would be like
actually, well,
I would wonder why. So I prefer that
the
I
moon phase was at a waxing crescent because that affects it, right?
So Ashley and Jimmy, after school,
nice pivot,
walk into his apartment from the future.
It looks. Did you want to go over that? Because there's a theory.
You know what? I think we're just going to say we don't know what his parents do. They seem very cold, and so does his apartment. And when we get more evidence, we will expand.
Okay. Okay. There's a theory.
Also, it's like. You know Christian Bale from American Psycho, that character? It's like if he
Patrick
had a Toronto
Bateman.
Summer home.
It's that.
Yeah. Like there was just a little more clutter to prove that a child lived there.
Yep. And Jimmy does a hard pivot because he's walking in talking about it. He's like, I asked my parents for a snowboard and I don't know if they're going to get it. And then all of a sudden he's like, can we break up and get this over with?
Yeah. Because they left a message saying they weren't going to be home because they were working late and he thought they were going to be home making dinner and Ashley could hang out with them. And he gets upset and she says, my mom's making wings. Kate's making her famous wings, Jim Jam. Why don't you head over to my place for your B-day bash?
He eat at my house for the ninth day in the row, Jimmy. I love it. Please.
And Ashley just doesn't respond. Like, she says, what? And then there's 10 seconds of silence.
I would be in shock, too, honestly.
Because it came out of nowhere. And she's like, can we forget this? It's your birthday.
He's like, you don't want to break up with me on my B-day? What is that? Like, my present?
She doesn't respond to that either.
And then he goes, what are you, deaf? Go.
Well, no, he says,
I'm sorry.
He tells her like Old Yeller to get out of here. Or no, not Old Yeller.
Go
they
on
shot
now.
That dog.
Get.
Whichever dog movie it was where they sent the dog.
I think it was Harry
away.
And the Hendersons.
Yeah. He said, you want to break up? Let's break up now. Okay? It's over. So go. Get out of here. What are you, deaf? Go.
Yeah,
go on, get.
He was talking about getting a snowboard 5 seconds ago.
Yeah. What are you, deaf? And then he orders a pizza in the
saddest pizza order.
In the saddest manner possible.
It's like when a private eye in a film noir movie goes to a bar, except it's a pizza order.
Hi, Antonio. It's Jimmy. Yeah, the usual. Medium pepperoni. Thanks.
Fade out.
God, he looks so sad.
Yeah, so Emma, Manny, and some random girl are outside school. It's like our girl equivalent of guy.
Yeah.
So Manny's like, you feeling okay? And Emma goes, yeah, Manny, I love being a woman. So she's back to her old self. She's up to her usual tricks, just treating her friends like shit
when they express concern for her.
Yeah. And she has a petition to put a tampon dispenser in the girls' washroom. Despite the fact that there was one in episode 2, Mother and Child Reunion, in the background.
Yeah.
So, sarcasm? A little bit of sarcasm.
They had to take
right
it
here.
Out for plot, though. Don't you understand?
Unlike all her other petitions, this one is not useful.
This school district only gets funding if the plot is compelling.
Yeah, we're just watching a documentary about this high school, and what are you doing to these children?
So then Paige walks by, and Emma asks if she wants to sign her petition, and she signs it without a shitty comment because
Paige
women
move.
Supporting other women.
But also,
but then to
it's
be Paige.
Still Paige.
Yeah.
She's Sean like, yo, Sean, you want to sign her period petition or whatever?
And then, so he was both right and wrong in this moment, because he's like, of course I'll sign the petition. Good on you, Sean. But then he says something I'm sure he will live to regret. Mm-hmm. If Emma came up with it, it's got to be a good idea.
Something that will haunt his nightmares.
It better. So, the Sean music plays as he leaves.
Oh, yeah.
Bum, 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 bum. Every time he's on screen.
Sean riff.
they don't play it for other characters. It's only Sean's.
So there's a close-up on Ashley's locker and a dumb, corny note that Jimmy made her that says, I love you this much. And it's Jimmy and his actually surprising wingspan.
He's got a large wingspan for a middle schooler. Like, he's stretching his arms out against a fence.
If I was
I don't
coach,
know if it's the angle, but it looks very large.
If I was Coach Armstrong, I might have been like, hey, I know you crippled Sean for like an episode, but you still want to be on the team.
And we see Jimmy open his locker, and he aggressively tears down the picture of Ashley.
He has the same moment for 3 seconds where you think he's going to be like, he misses the relationship. Yeah. Then he's like, nope, I'm over it.
And then she tries talking to him.
Yeah, she's like, maybe I overreacted, didn't mean to call you suffocating, clingy. A suction cup, which he's coming up with more words than she used, so he's really beating himself up over this.
Yeah, he's been stewing on this all night by himself because his parents didn't get home till late.
Just punch dancing his rage out after he eats pizza. That's how his birthday went.
Just footloose dancing.
Yeah. So they hug it out, and Jimmy's like, sure you didn't just feel sorry for me? And they love each other. Freeze frame. It's heartwarming.
Footloose gymnastics. It was a gymnastics scene.
So we almost got out of the worst, most boring relationship in the show, but I guess they're sticking it out.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, when Emma's period drama is the my favorite part of the episode, like,
I'm not sure which was the A or the B plot in this episode. Well, they were both pretty mild.
Yeah, I saw somebody commenting on that, and just by the definition of how it's framed, the Ashley Jimmy thing began and ended the episode, so they say that's the A plot.
I'm not arguing with the official definition.
Okay.
I'm arguing with which one it was in my heart. You know?
For me, it's for sure Emma.
Me
even
too.
Even though I don't like Emma, because we had some good Manny, we had some good Paige.
I just love that scene in Miss Kwan's class where Sean is having the wild facial reactions to the situation. I just love watching it. The 10th episode of season 1 is called Rumors and Reputations. And I'm going to call out the Degrassipedia on this one. They had some fake news. It says this is the first episode that's not named after any songs, films, or books. But what about Parents' Day? That wasn't either.
True.
That was a fun fact on that episode as well. And it definitely aired before this one.
Do you think they were getting the American air date thing?
This one was aired on...
Oh, that's right. That was the pedophile episode. That was...
Yeah.
Parents Day. Yeah, that's weird.
So, this aired in Canada, January 6, 2002. It aired in the U.S. on May 20th, 2002. So, this episode is what inspired the name of a fan blog called Boycott the Calf. I didn't get into it too much, but from what I saw, it's not very PC or nice at all.
I saw less than you did in just what you showed me. And yeah, there's some interesting hateful stuff on there.
It'd be funny if there wasn't just the hateful stuff peppered in.
Yeah.
This episode was written by Linda Schuler, Jan Moore, and Aaron Martin. Teleplay by Myra Freed and directed by Paul Fox. First episode directed by him, and he only directs three, spanning from season one to season two. And he's directed a lot of TV, including 8 episodes of Life with Derek, 18 episodes of Schitt's Creek, 3 episodes of the 2022 Fraggle Rock, and he's been working since like 1990.
Wait, he's
a pro.
Are you telling me there's a Fraggle Rock that came out this year?
Yeah, and he directed 3 episodes of it.
What?
Yeah.
I'm sleeping on Fraggle Rock.
We talked about this last night.
Oh, I was pretty deep in the drinks.
Okay. Well, you saw what happened to Terry when that happened. So.
Yeah, I should have learned her lesson.
Your man's going to get stolen.
IMDb fun fact. You weren't going to have a noise effect or a...
Bing, 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 bing.
Oh, feels so good.
Jackpot.
At one point, when Emma and Manny are talking, Emma's headbands change positions. How about that?
How fascinating.
How about that?
Thanks for bringing that to the table.
Well, I think Degrassi should try a little harder because it broke my immersion.
So we, during Rumors and Lies, or Rumors and Reputations.
Yes.
That's the correct title.
I'll call it out when it happens.
The entire episode is centered around rumors and lying and whether or not people believe you.
I'll say this about Mr. Fox. There was a strong theme in
it. He was fantastic.
Fantastic, Mr. Fox. Well done. But he had a really strong theme, and it was maybe not the most subtly, but it was reflected in both plot lines, even though they were pretty separate. So that was cool.
It definitely gave you both sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel bad for Spinner, so grade 8 storyline.
Cool.
We open on that one with Spinner ordering 2 school lunches, and I think he reacts pretty appropriately to what's placed in front of him, just 2 piles of, like, colored mush.
Yeah.
The orange mush we find out later is squash, but it was just like, is that refried beans and squash? Like, it was just mush.
He did also order 2 of them, though. Like,
yeah, he's a growing boy.
Yeah, our Spinner does have some growing to do.
And then he has a killer joke where he says, did you see the sign in the bathroom? Flush twice. It's a long way to the cafeteria.
Hell yeah.
Oh, and Spinner. Then an adult straight up bullies a child. And the cafeteria lady, Sheila, says, it might be a few extra years, but I can't wait for the day you graduate.
Which a little mean-spirited, but I am a fan of sassy Sheila, because she's got some hot ones in this episode.
I don't agree with you. She should run a tighter ship in the cafeteria.
The life of a lunch lady.
So
Spinner
walks to get in line with Jimmy, and he legitimately, the camera shows, sees an earwig in his food, and I can't defend this. He picks it up in a spoon with the bug in the food and flicks it at another student. And she immediately feels the bug and starts freaking out. And we see Spinner go up to Sheila to complain about the bug. And as he's complaining, she's like, well, where is the bug? And someone steps on it.
So many people ask Spinner for the evidence of the bug.
You don't carry a specimen jar on you, Spinner?
Yeah! What is that about? You can't just be like, I guess because it's Spinner, they're like, we need evidence, because maybe he's complained about this 3 times this week, which would be the only way this would be excusable.
Yeah, everybody says that he complains about the cafeteria food a lot, mm-hmm. but yet he orders 2 lunches. I don't get that. That's a good point. And she says that it's $4.99, and he orders 2 lunches. So I'm assuming that's for two lunches.
I forgot that he ordered two. So $4.99.
Yeah. And $4.99 in Canada in 2001.
And loonies and toonies.
In today, loonies and toonies, it's $7.69. So then I took that and converted that to USD and worked backwards on it on another inflation calculator to find that in 2001, that would be $3.61 USD, which is about $1.81 per school lunch, which seems about right.
Yeah.
But then also she said plus tax, which is like school lunches are taxed in Canada. I tried to look that up to see if that was accurate and I couldn't find anything.
This has been Terry's Economic Corner.
I don't think school lunches should be taxed. I needed to know if it was an accurate price.
You followed that rabbit hole all the way down to the bottom and I appreciate it.
I needed to know. So later in the hall, Spinner is telling Ashley, Paige, and Jimmy about the earwig, and Paige questions this because Spinner has been known to complain about
Paige
the
Paige and Ashley are super skeptical, and I want to believe all Spinners. Like,
and although Jimmy was standing next to Spinner, Jimmy did not see because Spinner didn't say, ooh, look at this. He just threw it and got rid of it,
honestly,
so he had no proof.
Honestly, I think Jimmy's talking with his dick right now because Ashley's right there, and he's like, oh, she almost dumped me last episode. I need some good boy points here.
He doesn't have enough for tendies.
Yeah.
And so he can't vouch, but he can't vouch for Spinner because he didn't see it.
Okay.
Do you think he saw it?
No, I just think he would be more inclined to agree with Spinner if that wasn't the case.
And then Jimmy tries to write Spinner off and be like, it was a moth at best. And then Ashley says, you can't even get your story straight. And then Spinner starts to shout in the hallway, the calf has bugs, boycott the calf.
Not super passionately either. He's just kind of barely yelling it.
Yeah, and Ms. Kwan walks up and she says, in pretty plain English, thank you writers for the lesson. She says, he's making serious accusations and defamation and rumor mongering are serious offenses. And the next time you make accusations like that, you better have proof. Miss Kwan, where were you when Emma was starting her storyline that we're going to talk about next?
Just not getting in the wrong damn business.
She's focused on the grade eights mostly right now, I guess, because they're her homeroom. But anyway, so the next day, Terry and Spinner are walking into school, and Terry asks him if he found bugs in his breakfast. And he says, no, I did not, which I do think is kind of shitty. I think that they're trying to give us a boy cried wolf scenario with Spinner here. But the thing is, nobody's saying he cried wolf. They're just saying he didn't like the food, which doesn't mean that he would necessarily lie about that. But I guess he's a troublemaker.
I'm taking it as they're saying he fabricated it.
Yeah.
And
that's what they said about the boy that cried wolf.
Oh, I thought you said it wasn't a boy cried wolf situation.
No, they're making it one, but he didn't in the story. He didn't lie about that specifically ever.
And I don't like how Terry's kind of teasing him. Like, stay in your lane, Terry.
Yeah. And so Jimmy asks why he was being so passive with Terry. And Spinner reveals to Jimmy his plan by pulling out a tuna salad container. And Jimmy says, there better not be tuna salad in here. And it's like, what did you want to be in there, Jimmy? I would love to know.
I would love for that to be tuna salad, actually. After I find out what's in it, please be tuna salad.
If it's Spinner, hope it's tuna salad. Because what is he putting in that? And we find out it's a bunch of earwigs. He's going to put some in the cafeteria.
Where did he get? Does he say where he got those?
He said he collected all of them himself. So I don't know where he got them.
I haven't seen an earwig in so long.
I've never seen an earwig, I don't think.
Aren't they just covering Canada?
I don't know. They must be a lot more common because that's never been a pest I've had to deal with.
Side note, I do love how mischievous he is when he's like, clearly, I made a mistake. But if anyone else found it, and then he proceeds to pull out a jar full of bugs.
So they walk into the lunchroom at lunchtime, and Jimmy asks Spinner if he's sure, and he says, I'm sure. And then he says, this is war. And they sit down with Ashley. Yeah. And Ashley looks away to ask Jimmy for the pepper. And Spinner just dumps a handful of earwigs on her tray.
Before that, more mischievous Spinner. And I just love this side of him. So I wrote down everything he said like this. He was like, I decided to be mature. You know, I probably never even saw that bug.
I do love mischievous Spinner. I like this attitude.
But
I wish he would use it in a more productive way.
Yeah, he doesn't have the follow through at all. He's real bad at being sneaky.
Yeah, and she looks away and he puts a handful of earwigs on her tray. And then more mischievous Spinner. After she looks back, she doesn't look at her tray. She makes eye contact with Spinner and he's smiling and he winks at her. And she's like, what are you smiling about? And then she sees the bugs, stands up and screams, and Jimmy gives him up right away, and he says, you put bugs on her tray?
And he gives himself up too, because yeah. He's like, calm down, I told you there's bugs in the food.
He said, like, nobody believes me, but they'll believe her. And it's like, they won't believe you, or like, she doesn't believe you now.
First of all, one bug, that's enough.
Like, yeah, be believable with your scams, Spinner. And Ashley discovers the not tuna salad container and says, what's in that? And she opens it and screams and throws it on the table like an idiot, getting more bugs everywhere. This is all Ashley's fault.
Spinner is the Lord of the Flies now.
And Spinner now has to help serve school lunches and clean up after school for 2 whole months. And Jim and Ashley, sorry, I keep calling him Jim because for time I was writing Jim in my notes, and it feels weird to call him Jim. Yeah. But Jimmy and Ashley walk up to the cafeteria line for what? I don't know, because it was empty besides them.
Yeah.
And they just make fun of him. They laugh at him openly.
Roast
and walk
his hairnet. Canada math. It cost $300 to exterminate the bugs in the cafeteria, and he's working there for 2 months. So how much do these cafeteria workers get paid? That doesn't seem like enough.
I don't know. You would have had to give me time to prepare for that.
I'm just saying it doesn't seem like a lot.
Okay.
If Sheila's making that much, I understand why she's roasting Spinner.
But the calf got exterminated, I guess.
So,
I mean,
mission accomplished, Spinner.
Yeah, good job. So starting with the grade sevens, we see Emma say goodbye to her best friend Extra, and she walks up to a classroom and starts intensely staring through the window immediately.
Being a big old creep like she does.
Yeah, at Coach Armstrong and Liberty. They're in a classroom alone together, and he has his arm around her, and he can be seen mouthing like, it's okay. And we get a slow zoom on Emma's face as she decides how to use this information in the most chaotic way possible, like
she
always does.
This is wrong.
This is wrong.
I will say it didn't look sus. It just looked like a teacher helping out a student, I think.
I don't think it looked sus either. So, and even when he had his arm around her, he was doing the thing that like a sports coach will do, like, yeah, bud, it's all right.
The
like,
huddle is his environment.
Yeah.
That's where he works best.
So then we see JT and everybody walking into the computer lab.
Yeah, JT's talking about telling his mom a joke and how hilarious it was.
He says the joke he told wasn't even the joke in this story. He wanted people to laugh at. He wanted people to laugh that she spewed milk out of her nose.
He was bragging about his comedy chops.
And JT's mom is still canon right now. She's still in his life.
Cool.
And JT notices Emma didn't laugh at his funny ass joke.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, Emma, what's wrong? But mostly laugh at my joke. And she's like, very funny. And she approaches Liberty. And Liberty, like a typical 12-year-old, when asks, hey, what's up? She says, just running some emails.
She says, running some emails?
I think that's what she said. Yeah. And Emma says, you know, what's going on? Like, are you good? She tries to allude to it, and Liberty has no patience for it.
Yeah, she is being cagey, though.
And she says, I saw you and Coach Armstrong, and Liberty says, what's your point? And Emma says, it looked like, and Liberty, with a reasonable explanation, said, I had some questions about equations. Mm-hmm. And then she accuses Emma of trying to read her emails. She's like, weird. Are you trying to read my emails? Emails are private.
Although with Emma, I wouldn't be surprised if she had a history.
Well, we know she doesn't care for Emma based on prior interactions.
And based on what Emma is.
So I don't blame her for being like, what is she up to? Is she trying to get into my business?
Mm-hmm. Yes, always.
Yeah. Actually, yes, this episode she really is. So we're outside, I guess, on like free period or lunch or something. And Emma seems to be staring at Sean, who looks like he's getting b-ball pointers from Coach Armstrong. And mm-hmm. JT's like, you're staring. It's obvious that you're in love with this guy, which is not what this episode is about, surprisingly.
Yeah, but also, when she does that, it is obvious.
Yeah. And Emma asked JT what he thinks about Coach Armstrong as a person. And he said, teachers aren't people, they're teachers. And
did you also think your teachers were like frozen in the basement under the school when school wasn't going on?
Yeah, for a little while.
The most shocking thing to me was seeing a teacher in public when I was a kid.
That's, they're just cogs. That's not how they exist.
They're robots. They power down after
school. My sister
school.
Is a teacher.
Well, she's not a person.
Yeah, she must have been created. I must have been implanted with those memories.
Mm-hmm.
So, and JT also says that, you know, he's given him extra help in class and he's always been nice to him. And Emma says, yeah, come to think of it, he's nice to everyone. As if that's like damning evidence of anything.
I know a pedophile when I see it. Clearly you don't, Emma. Yeah, really don't.
I think you're just projecting because you didn't know.
That's actually a really good point because I do think some of that colors what goes on.
That is really correct. Man, see, she just like doesn't. We hear about the divorce passively through Toby's dialogue and mm-hmm. other episodes. It's like that never happened for Emma the way they write her for some reason. They never talk about it.
Well, this is kind of more subtle, but I do think they had intentions for her to read into it more because that happened.
Yeah.
Unless you're watching it in America and then apparently it didn't happen yet.
Yeah. So we see Armstrong pass Liberty a folded piece of paper after suspiciously looking around, making it look suspicious. And Emma notes this, and Armstrong just kind of touches Liberty on the arm, like having a conversation. Nothing weird. And the next scene we see is Emma and Manny in the hallway, and Manny walks up and says, should we use HTML and media immersion? It's like, I don't know, should you? Like, what kind of, are they partners? Like, what's the project here? We don't have enough context.
I don't know. I didn't get HTML in school, and I'm still pissed because apparently they're older than us, we learned about in the astrology section.
Well, it used to be more necessary when dealing with computers. Yeah. Now they kind of dummy-proof it.
That's good. That's good for me.
Yeah. And Emma asks, Manny, has Armstrong ever touched you? And what? No, did he touch you? No, not me. Liberty. I saw him touching Liberty. She said.
Way to be sensitive, Emma. Way to really bury the lead.
Yeah, and she asks, are you sure? And Emma says, I know what I saw. I'm not sure you do, Emma. Anyway, he's apparently a pretty physical guy, says Manny. And, you know, makes sense. He's a coach. And maybe she got the wrong idea. But Emma says his arm was around her. So that's pretty much proof. And he passed her a note. And we see Terry overhear this.
Our coaches and stuff like extra touchy. Maybe that's why I didn't like sports. I never like people touching me. And it always seemed like baseball and basketball coaches are like, let me put my arm on you, son.
As a person who's only played women's sports, not encouraged to be touchy because that's weird.
Right.
So not in my personal experience. men's sport teams can be pretty homoerotic in a whimsical way, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of butt pats going on.
Yeah.
There's a lot of don't tell your parents.
Was there a lot of don't tell your
parents? I mean, I've only played a couple sports.
Okay. So we're in Coach Armstrong's class with Terry and Paige, and Terry looks like something is wrong. And Paige is like, what is up? You were acting weird. Tell me what's wrong. I promise I'll keep it a secret. And she tells Paige that Armstrong was coming on to Liberty, that grade 7 kid.
Okay, I wanted your opinion on this part, because I don't
know... Did you think that Paige manipulated her into telling? Is that what you're about to ask me?
Yeah. Okay. Because she seemed like she was being a good friend, and I wanted to believe in Paige, but she wouldn't do that to Terry out of nowhere.
I was deciding whether or not to note that small interaction, because it's like... So, the way she asked for the information is... She said, you know, you always feel better if you get something off your chest.
Ah, yes. The spider queen in the center of her web.
And then she says, we're friends, right? Friends tell each other things. And she really did manipulate Terry into telling her this secret.
Poor Terry.
Yeah. But anyway, I did also make note of that. She tells Paige Armstrong was coming onto Liberty and that she overheard Emma saying it. She saw him with his arm around her. Then on the steps, we hear our first addition to the story from the OG, from Emma's mouth. She saw Armstrong give Liberty a love note. She inserted the word love there.
Yeah.
She said a piece of paper, but Terry says it's a love note.
And it grows.
Carrie says, so what do we do? Report it? First mention of reporting from the kids. And Paige rightly says, hun, you can't report a rumor.
Yes. Good point, Paige. But also not a fan of how you just immediately texted someone that information. You didn't even wait to get up and get out of class. You were literally behind Terry's back.
I also thought it was really funny the way they cut to reveal who received the text. Because it looked like we were going to another classroom. And then reveal, she was texting Hazel, who's sitting behind her.
Yeah.
Not even a person behind. Like, she could have turned around and whispered.
But she's smarter than Emma in that she texted it.
Well, yeah, but not smart enough to not tell Hazel, who is seen in the next scene, on the phone in the hallway,
just
loudly
shouting it.
Shouting that Liberty and Armstrong were seen kissing outside in his car in front of everybody. So
Hazel.
No, see, this is what I want to know. We heard what Terry changed about the story. We don't know what bastardized version Paige texted Hazel.
That does sound
more
like
Paige. We don't know
Paige.
What Paige did with that story. So that could be verbatim what Paige told her. We don't know.
True. Also, I don't remember Hazel being in the story before. Like, did she have a big role before? Was she just a background character? Because this is the first time.
So I think this might be the first time we see Hazel when she's not just kind of there. They really don't give Hazel enough to do in general in the whole run of the show, but
yeah,
we'll get to that later.
I
wouldn't
be a fan of Hazel, but
she's mostly established in season two, and I don't know if she's even in the opening credits for season one, but I know she is for season two. That's when she really starts to get storylines. And I don't know if that's our introduction to Hazel. We'll have to find out. And so, yeah, apparently some version of the rumor she heard that she either glamorized, if that's what you could call it, embellished. That's the word I was looking for.
I think Paige put some Paige spin on it.
She did. And I think Hazel put some Hazel spin on it because both of them love drama, we'll come to find out. And Sean is sitting on the stairs brooding, drawing or writing something. And he hears this
his diary.
He is upset. Which makes me happy. Good on you, Sean, for reacting appropriately.
I'm sorry the good Lord didn't give you any of those good, happy emotions, but I'm glad you're a good person.
Yeah, and so we see him. This all happens pretty much exactly how we're saying it, very in quick succession. So we see him ranting to Spinner, and he says she got a ride from him this morning. And do you think they spent the night together? How could Coach do that? And Spinner looks taken aback, but at the same time very titillated by the drama he's listening to Sean. And so Spinner, his next move is he walks into the hall and yells to Jimmy, Liberty and Armstrong are doing it.
And my favorite transmission of this information is Jimmy writing an email.
Yes. Did you see? Also, his screen name was so appropriate for this
message. What was it? I didn't see the screen
name. Jimmy411. He's given Ashley the 411.
And the email is just Liberty, period. Armstrong, period. Doing it.
And then she looks at him from across the computer lab that they were in together. He could have sat by her. It was empty. Anyway.
I think people just got the technology and they're like, we have to use this for everything, right?
And, well, Ashley looks at Jimmy and mouths, is it true? And he nods, yes. So we finally get our...
No, it was a funny joke I was telling.
Yeah.
One of those Jimmy-style jokes.
Those Jimmy-style student-teacher relationship jokes. So a student council meeting starts, and Liberty starts talking about the talent show, and Ashley and a student council extra whisper openly in front of Liberty in this quiet room where she's the only one talking, and there's like five people at the table.
Yeah, it's literally they're around a table.
I've been, I was like vice president reporter of my FFA chapter in high school.
Brag about it, why don't you?
Well, I'm just saying, when we had officer meetings that were like groups of small people, it would be painfully obvious if someone was like... like in the meeting during business while someone was talking. I just thought that was ridiculous. And Liberty noticed as well. And she said, I know what you're talking about. And Ashley's like, you do? And Liberty's like, yeah, we're at the meeting. Let's discuss it. And Ashley says, don't you want to do that in private? And Liberty, not knowing what's going on, says, of course. I know some microphones were stolen at last year's show. Boring Degrassi student council business.
There is an alternate Degrassi timeline that I would love to imagine where Liberty is just like, what me and Coach Armstrong have is beautiful and sexual and strong.
I don't want to imagine that. That's an illegal timeline.
That's so funny, though.
That is very funny. But okay. We can't go there.
But she's
like
talking
that.
About cameras. Yeah. Degrassi, they don't go there.
And so the student council meeting wraps up, and Ashley catches up with Liberty as she's leaving, and she tells her what's up and that people are talking and saying these things about her and Coach Armstrong. And Liberty is appalled, and she goes to leave because this is upsetting information. Mm. And Ashley just will not let it go, even after Liberty tells her it's not true. And she says, of course not. And she goes to leave. And Ashley says, if it is, we have to report it. Please, Liberty, can we talk? And so this is where we start seeing the parallels with the storylines. Because Spinner, he saw something, he said something. He was punished for it.
Mm-hmm.
No one's saying anything to the adults, which is what they keep saying they should do, which would nip this in the bud.
Every single person.
So I'm just going to say that for now because there's more of this.
Mm.
And actually, literally in the next scene, I knew something was going on. I still can't believe, Emma says. Then mm-hmm. Manny says, I still can't believe it. Maybe we should report it. And JT reminds them it could end Coach Armstrong's career and they should stop speculating on shit they don't know about.
Which, bad luck, JT.
And Toby is saying it makes him... feel icky thinking about the situation if it's true, and that he feels like he wants to take a shower. And JT, roast of the century, says, not a bad idea.
Hell yeah, up top, JT.
JT's the coolest kid in school.
He banana boards away.
That's why Jimmy is one of the coolest kids in school, because Jimmy or JT is the coolest kid in school.
He's a golden god.
So JT got him good. Just had to say that again.
Mm-hmm.
Got to give him all the cred. And that's not a thing people say. Liberty walks up as at the end of that when...
This is kind of funny.
Emma's like, well, what should we do? Liberty walks in and like Canadian standoff music plays. What was
she
that?
She stands there for 5 full seconds just staring.
And then she Naruto runs down the hall.
Yeah.
Like she just sprints off to the bathroom, the washroom. And Emma is being aggressively a capital F friend, TM.
Mm.
And she says, what you need right now is a friend, someone to talk to. And Liberty's like, there's nothing to talk about. It's a rumor. Like, that is not true at all. And Emma says, are you sure you're not lying? Because if you are, we have to report it. Like, maybe you should have reported it if you think it's true so much that you keep pushing it like this.
Look, Detective Emma is on the case. She is a master sleuth, and she will find the truth.
Yeah. Well, and Liberty, being like a person that doesn't want to actively hurt people, expresses like, this could hurt Coach Armstrong. Like, mm-hmm. this could hurt other people. This rumor is very bad. And Emma's like, well, you know what we need to do? We need to track down its source. And she decides to put on her little Sherlock Holmes hat. And the next scene we've seen is her talking to Ashley, who is who Liberty heard the rumor from.
Mm-hmm. Tracing and it back.
She heard it from Jimmy, and Jimmy heard it from Spinner, who heard it from Sean. And I just want to say also, in the middle of this retracing sequence, I noticed how accurate for a middle school girl Emma's binder was. It was all doodled on with Sharpie and like had her name and like that she had doodled in, like assumed during class. It was it was a nice touch. Yeah. Anyway, Jimmy heard it from Spinner, who heard it from Sean. Sean heard it from Hazel, who heard it from Paige. Hmm. And she was talking to Hazel in the bathroom, and then yes. Paige pops out of a stall and says she heard it from Terry.
I think Paige uses the sewage pipe as like a secret network to travel around the school, like a sewer gator of sorts.
Is she a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle?
Yeah, she just lives in the sewer and she pops out where there's drama.
When she's needed. And so Emma goes to talk to Terry, and Terry responds appropriately for the first time for any character to Emma, I feel like, because Emma just walks up out of nowhere. Terry's minding her own business at her locker, and she says, "I need to talk to you." And Terry's like, "Okay." Like, what was that?
Correct response.
Yeah. And she's like, "You started this rumor, Terry. How dare you?" And Terry's like, "Big news. You started the rumor. I literally heard it from you on this corner the other day." And Emma is like somehow shocked by this, because did you notice, Emma, that day you noticed it was bothering you and you wouldn't shut up about it to mm-hmm. anybody, and now you're wondering who started the rumor? Yeah.
You didn't, for the first time in your life, learn to shut the fuck up for 5 seconds? You notice that?
Yeah, and so we get to Emma and Liberty entering Coach Armstrong's math class, and Liberty tells Emma, who she thinks is her friend right now, mm-hmm. that she has been dreading his class all day. And I thought it was really funny. So when they were walking in, we see Coach Armstrong writing on the chalkboard, and he's like referencing a book. But then when we see what he's writing, he's just writing the acronym bed mass, and then he writes a line under it. You couldn't remember that. You had to hold the book. And also, it's not PEMDAS. Like, it is the same thing. PEMDAS is correct in the United States and other places that teaches it. Bed mass, moss, whatever, is
like Taco Bell. Brackets. Bed moss.
Okay. Anyway, and he says, "Today we're going to be working on equations." And so he asks if anyone can explain the bed mass rule. And nobody does. And then Armstrong says, "Well, me and Liberty, you and I have been working on bed moss, right?" And then JT cracks up.
Okay, I missed the bed moss thing. I thought he said we had just been working on it, but that actually
That's
is really funny.
That's why it was funny.
I would lose my mind
too.
If I was in that classroom.
Yeah. And then Radich comes in immediately after that happens and is like, "Class is canceled for Coach Armstrong and Liberty."
Yeah. And I like that he brings a spare teacher. He's like, "There's this coach molesting? Hold on, let me get out my spare teacher that I keep in this closet."
In reality, probably just some like poor college graduate that comes in whenever they can.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we got another molestation.
Actually, no, it was 2001. I don't think the job market was that. I don't know anything about 2001, actually, so I'm going to stop.
I know a couple things.
I was young.
Do you remember where you were when?
Just give me a second. So, after Liberty and Armstrong follow Radich down to the office, and Emma runs out of the classroom shortly after Liberty leaves, we see Emma burst into the office, and Radich is like, "I literally can't deal with your shit right now." And then the way she decides to let them know that she started the rumor is she says, "I'm in the middle of it too." And Armstrong is like, "I did not molest this girl."
So the principal's expression where he looks back at like Coach Armstrong and he's like, "Really, bro?" Really?
Yeah, that was good acting. And we see Liberty hiding in the bathroom later because we don't see the rest of that conversation. Mm-hmm. And we have Emma non-apologizing again. And she says, I was responsible for the rumor starting, but I didn't spread it. And Liberty is like, no, that's like, how is that any different? And it makes me upset that you think I would even do that. And Emma says, do what? Be violated? Like, okay, yes, Emma, you're correct. Anyone could be, but also you're dead wrong in this scenario.
Maybe a little sensitivity.
Yeah, just taking the power out of other people's words when you use it that way. So how about you stop? And Emma basically is like, well, what were you doing talking to a teacher at school anyway? Like, how? Like, what's that about?
Why would you ever talk to a teacher in a school?
And Liberty shows her the quote-unquote love note that is actually a pamphlet on a learning disability called dyscalculia, which she has, which is why she's been spending extra time with Armstrong, and which is why she wasn't telling anybody. Because it's very important to Liberty to, you know, strive to be the best. She wants to be the best in the class. She wants to be the smartest. She wants to achieve. And she's dealing with having a learning disability, so she didn't want everybody blowing up her spot.
Which, for Liberty, I like this growth moment. I'm just sorry that most of the plot was focused on Emma.
Yeah, it was really just sprinkled in last minute.
It's like, oh, Liberty's dealing with something that's very hard and central to her character, but we're going to follow Emma being a detective finding herself.
And then Emma is like, man, I'm sorry. Is there anything I can do? And Liberty, in another iconic moment, says, retweet. No, Emma, go back to saving rainforests and whales, because when it comes to helping people, you suck. And then the episode ends.
I forgive this entire episode for any amount of boring or too much Emma or not focusing on Liberty for that quote and ending the episode where they ended it. So, A+.
So who do you think did whatever it takes this episode?
Okay. This one's gonna be a little bit tricky.
I have mine. You want to hear mine?
Yeah, go off.
Mine is Emma. Like I have said many times, I never support her actions hardly. And I don't support her actions in this episode either, but she really did whatever it took to avoid blame from Liberty. She really tried to skirt that as long as possible till she saw that there were real consequences.
We learned how far you have to grind Emma down before she's like, oh, I wasn't right.
She'll play detective all day if it means she can avoid blame.
Yeah. Okay, I think, let me try and make sense of this, because I know in my heart what I feel, and that is Paige did whatever it takes.
Okay, yeah, she did.
Yeah, but she did kind of play a background role, and I think she did whatever it takes to cause absolute chaos.
She's an agent of chaos. That's why we love her.
Yeah, and she did it very effectively. I don't think the rumor would have gotten as bad as it did without Paige.
Without her, whatever her embellishment was, it must have been wild.
Because we have, like, a little stuff added, a little stuff sprinkled in, and then it hits Paige and it gets buck wild.
It went from he had his arm around her and gave her a love note to they were making out in his car after it goes through Paige.
I don't even want to know what she told the next person after Hazel, because you know she didn't stop spreading it.
She loves the theater. She loves the drama.
And I almost forgot, but Paige had a real big moment, like, helping Emma out. And we haven't really seen that side of
That's
her
That's what
yet.
I thought of first when you said whatever it takes.
Yeah, so she does both.
Sometimes we do choose a moral whatever it takes. It's usually amoral.
Yeah.
Immoral, whatever the
but
right word is.
She's a chaotic neutral. Sometimes she's good. Sometimes she's bad. Sometimes she's signing off on a petition. Sometimes she's yelling at a boy that this girl likes to sign her embarrassing petition. Like
in the same 10 seconds. Yeah. So next week we're covering episode 11 and 12 of season 1, Friday Night and Wannabe. And we finally learn why I am so defensive of Miss Kwan.
I'm excited because this may be, I know I say this like every episode, this may be one of the last episodes where I haven't already seen it one
time.
You
were present for some of the episodes like
I saw this last one. I've been
you were in and
out.
Out for the first season, and you saw some episodes, and that's what sold you. And you were like, okay, we're watching this together.
You can no longer watch this alone.
Yeah.
Okay, well, those are both a lot of fun. Looking forward to next week. Follow us on the socials. What, Downtown Sasquatch is for everybody?
Yep. Okay. Well, we're only on Instagram, and we probably won't be anywhere else, so check us out on Instagram.
Yeah, if you're on Facebook, then we don't need you.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening.